The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Brandon Tatum is a 7-year veteran of the Tucson Police Department. He's a YouTube sensation with 1.9 million subscribers. He started Blexit with Candace Owens, and now he's tackling his biggest assignment yet. This is the Officer Tatum Show.
What's going on? What's going on? What's going on, everybody? This is your boy, Brandon Tatum. You listen to the Officer Tatum Show. It's a whole bunch of stuff going on in our country, and we got to talk about it. Elon Musk came out as a conservative. Now he's raping people. At least that's what they say. $40 billion of aid money our country decided to give to the Ukraine. And you got people smoking crack on the side of the road, shooting up heroin, and people running through our border like it's going out of style. And we're giving money to Ukraine. Nancy Pelosi, the old dirty foot lady that's running around with a scrunchy face saying the craziest stuff I've ever heard in my life. She was denied communion from San Francisco's Archbishop because she's pushing abortion rights. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to start with Nancy Pelosi. I know there's a lot of Christians that listen to the show, so I want to start with Nancy Pelosi and say that that Archbishop was 100% right. There's no way in the world that you should be taking communion and you believe in murdering young children. The Bible speaks very clearly that God knew you before you entered the womb. You belong to God. You don't belong to your mama. Your mama is just a vessel in which you pass through, in the spirit, in which you pass through, so God can, you know, control and elevate you in your life, and you have a purpose singular from anybody else. Nothing against mamas, because that's a hard job, and that's why women are blessed, because they have to carry children and create them, and God has given the authority to women to do that. But Nancy Pelosi should not be taking communion. Any one of these people who are claiming to be Christian, claiming to be Catholic, and they're pushing abortion, you are absolutely wrong. And the Bible is very clear that if you are living in sin, you cannot take communion. And, you know, nowadays churches are just doing whatever they want to do. They don't follow the scripture at all. They just follow a business model. And whatever business model is geared to making them more and more money, that's what they're going to do. It's incredibly sad that we're in this state, but that's just the way it is. And I'm glad to see the Archbishop come out against Nancy Pelosi. And I hope that archbishops around the country, I don't really know how Catholicism works, but I'm assuming that the archbishops are all in communication on it. I'm believing that they're all on the same page, especially if they're in a certain demographic or region of bishops. But you should not be letting people do those things. Christians need to stand up and become Christians. I'm just sick and tired of being sick and tired of watching the watering down of a religion or a relationship that is so profound and have done so much for this country and has changed people's lives all over the world. And now we just dumb it down in America because we want to be comfortable, or we want to make our neighbors feel comfortable. But I tell you what, living for Christ is not comfortable sometimes. You're going to make people mad. People ain't going to like what you say. It doesn't matter, because where do you want to end up? Do you want to be pleasing to men on earth, or do you want to be pleasing to God when it's time to go to heaven? Now let's get to my boy Elon Musk. I have to talk about him, because it is ironic that the left have the same playbook with every single conservative man that comes out, or every single man that comes out as conservative or dare to think for himself. How in the world did Elon Musk, he had been skating all of this time? Everybody, you know, they actually loved him because he had the electric car and everything, and he's, you know, he's sort of on the geeky side. And that was their darling. He dared to come out and say, I'm going to vote for Republicans, obviously because Democrats aren't doing anything positive for the country. And anybody with money and status knows that the Democrats are not good for America. He comes out and says, I'm going to vote for Republicans. On his Twitter, He says, watch the attacks come out. Watch the accusations come out. And lo and behold, the very next day, somebody comes out that worked for X-Force or whatever, X-Space or Space Force. Or, I don't know. SpaceX. There you go. That worked for SpaceX come out and say that he, you know, revealed himself to them and did all kind of stuff. Why weren't you talking about this way before Elon Musk said he was a Republican? I mean, if you really are that offended, that takes me to my next subject. And I'm going to go on a tangent, but y'all bear with me. I cannot stand when women use sexual leverage or use their identity to push, to destroy the reputation of men. There's many women that have been taken advantage of by men that deserve to have a voice, and those men should be held accountable. They should go to prison, if you ask me. The problem is, and this is from my experience as a police officer, the problem is that the women who experience these types of abuses, they don't say anything. They are afraid in many cases to be shunned, to lose their reputation, for them not to be believed. But the ones that nothing happened to, they the biggest mouth, they have the biggest mouths in the industry, and they are out on a day-to-day basis lying on men about sexual abuse. It is shameful. If I had control of the punishment associated with lying on another person and saying that they've abused you and they did not, you should get the same amount of time in prison that person would have gotten if they actually did the crime that you accused them of. And maybe some of these women who know they lying will think twice about coming out making false accusations against people. It happened to me when I was in college. Not me, but it happened to one of my teammates. Young girl came out and said that he had sexually assaulted, raped her. That's what she said. He raped her. And come to find out, she made it all up. And everybody on the football team knew that was highly unlikely. I hate to say it. I'm telling the truth. Y'all want me to tell the truth. Everybody on the team and everybody in sports knew that it was highly unlikely that somebody did that to her, given her behaviors. Not saying that it's impossible, but you could read between the lines. You know, that didn't seem like that would be something that men had to do. But she came out and lied. She got busted on a lie. They went to court. They went to trial. He was found not guilty. And they put a little article at the bottom of the back of the newspaper that he was found not guilty. But when she accused him on the front of the paper, his face, everything was out there. That he's accused of raping this athlete. And in addition to that, he lost his opportunity to play football. He would have been drafted in the NFL, no doubt. He lost his opportunity to play football, and he had to be expelled from school indefinitely. And she skated on. And then when found out that she lied, nothing happened to her, she went on about her life. I remember seeing her in the hallway in the McHale Center when she lied, and I'm looking at her like, you a dirty woman. You had no business lying on that man when you could have just – whatever, you could have just stopped talking to him. I don't know what would provoke a person to lie. Call in 844-900-7243, 844-900-7243, if you want to interject in this conversation. I got so many things to talk about. I mean, those two subject matters it's only the beginning. I want to talk about LeBron James as well. LeBron James took a white girl to the prom when he was in high school, and his son took a white girl to the prom, and the black community is mad at him. And I'm not saying every black person, but if you ask me, the majority of the black people on the black blogs and on black Twitter and Instagram, they are dragging his son for taking a white girl to the prom. And I think that is absolutely shameful. I spoke about it yesterday, but I didn't have the information to tell you that LeBron went to the prom with a white girl as well. I want to talk about, and I will, and probably a few later segments, I want to talk about why interracial dating is more prevalent now than it ever has been in the past. And I think some of you guys know the obvious, but I have some insight for you. And especially from personal knowledge, why do black men tend to marry white women as opposed to black women in certain situations? And some people are going to get their feelings hurt, but I'm here to tell you the truth. And I believe that I'm fair and balanced when I give this statement. So I'm going to wait to the next segment because I need a full block to talk about what I want to say. I need a full block to get the explanation out so people don't misinterpret what I'm saying. But while I got a little time still in this block, I want to talk a little bit about the Senate passing the $40 billion aid to the Ukraine. This was bipartisan, ladies and gentlemen. Most of Republicans, all of the Democrats, voted that we give $40 billion. I think I said million a minute ago. It's $40 billion to Ukraine. Somebody needs to explain this to me. Somebody needs to explain this to the American people. I get it, man. We want to help the world. I get it. There's people in Ukraine that are going through a crisis at this point. I get it. But $40 billion after we've already given them aid before, I think we're up to like $53 billion that we've given to Ukraine so far, $54 billion. What are you doing? We have so many needs here in our country. We have a border crisis that's out of control. We have an epidemic in fentanyl that's out of control. We have people who are struggling who had their businesses shut down because of the pandemic that's out of control. And you're giving money to Ukraine? Y'all got to be kidding me. You listen to The Officer Tatum Show. I'm your host, Brandon Tatum. Catch me after the break.
Brandon Tatum, unafraid to tell it like it is.
Ladies and gentlemen, yours truly and MyPillow are offering a buy one, get one extravaganza on multiple MyPillow products. Now's the time to join millions of Americans who have changed the quality of their sleep with MyPillow. Right now, buy one, get one free pricing on MyPillow bed sheets, Giza Elegance MyPillows, six-piece towel sets, and roll and go anywhere MyPillows. Just go to the radio listener specials page at MyPillow.com and use promo code Tatum or call 800-976-8379. Don't miss this incredible opportunity to buy one, get one free on select items. You will also receive Mike's book absolutely free with any purchase. Call 1-800-858-0263. Or go to the Radio Listener Specials page at MyPillow.com. Use promo code Tatum.
Brandon Tatum. The left ain't seen nothing yet.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is your boy, Brandon Tatum, host of The Officer Tatum Show. I want to switch gears real quick and talk about this Christian school under fire for upholding Christian values. And you may ask me, Brandon, what in the world is happening at this Christian school that will make them be under fire, and how does that relate to Christian values? So, according to the Louisville Courier Journal, it says a homework assignment given to several middle schoolers at Christian Academy of Louisville encouraged students to pursue an imaginary friend to reject or persuade imaginary friend to reject homosexuality. Now, you know, in a woke culture that we live in, people will be mad at that. Now, how in the world at a Christian school you're going to be mad at that? It literally says in the Bible that homosexuality is a sin. So why is it so weird and difficult in a Christian school for you to understand that may be a hypothetical situation that kids will, you know, be able to or should be able to defend their faith in? Now, if you are homosexual and you or your kids are, I mean, I don't know, if you're a middle schooler, you don't know nothing about homosexual or nothing. You got, when you grown, you could say you homosexual or not. When you're a kid, you're a kid. But anyway, if your kid is in the LGBTQ community and all that and you go to a Christian school, what do you expect? That's like a kid being Jewish going to a Christian school and getting mad at the articulation from the teachers about who Jesus was. That's like a person who's Muslim going to a Christian school and then being upset because there's a conflict between Muslims believing that Jesus didn't die on the cross and Christians believing that Jesus died on the cross. You're going to a Christian school. What do they have to do? I mean, you know, that's like a Satanist going to a Christian school and being mad that he don't like the doctrine that they're teaching. You know, I registered my son for a Christian school, and you had to sign a form that says you agree with the doctrine of the school. You know, that, you know, Jesus is Lord and all this other stuff. They walk all the way through that homosexuality is involved in it too, and you have to check the box and say, or initial and say, I agree with the tenets that this school believe in. The mission statement, the statement of faith is what it's called. So if you in the LGBTQ community and you check the box on that, how are you mad? And this is the point that I feel that Christians need to take a stand. There should not be punishment or repercussions for children who are at a Christian school to learn Christian values. And if you are struggling with your sexuality, that's on you, you know? I don't think anybody should be mean to you. I don't think anybody should hate on you or anything like that. But just realize that's a personal decision that you're making, and it's personal to you. Some people are going to get mad at me by saying it's a personal decision. And I'm going to say it on the air. And this is a controversial topic and statement. But I'll say it right here that I think it's a choice. I think people are choosing to live in what they think in their mind. Let me give you an example. Let's play this scenario out. You feel that you're attracted to the same sex. Does that mean that you have to live that way? No, it doesn't. And some people say, well, I was born this way. Well, you know what? There's other people, and I'm not comparing this to pedophilia, but there's people in the pedophilia realm that say they were born that way. And they were born, and they like kids for some reason. They don't know why. Well, I tell you what, you better not live in it. You better make a different decision. I don't care what you like. You better not mess with no kids, or you can go to prison. And I'm not saying those are the same, but I'm saying that if you're claiming that you're born a certain way, you have to make a decision whether or not you want to do this or not. Let me go to the realm of marriage. A person can be married for 40 years, 30 years, 20 years, and just say that you are no longer attracted to your spouse. Is it okay because you're more attracted to another person for you to live in it, for you to explore that option? No, you better suck it up. You're married. Everything in life is not about attraction. Everything in life is not about your sexual involvement with another person. Just because you like a person and attracted to a person don't mean you have to live that lifestyle if you don't want to. That's my take on it. If you are not a Christian and you don't care, boo, you live in America. Do what you want to do. But outside of that, if you're a Christian, then you need to live by the Christian tenets. You know, many people that are in the Christian faith may not agree with everything that the Bible says. They may not want to. They may want to be able to do whatever they want to do. They may want to be able to have as many wives as they want to have. They may want to be able to cuss and get drunk every night. But the Bible gives you a clear standard of life. And whether you struggle with it or not, you should be on your knees praying and asking God to rescue you from your own mind. And if you're a Christian and you don't believe that God is capable of doing that, then you ain't a Christian. Then you don't have faith. Because faith can conquer anything that's an obstruction in your mind. You're listening to The Officer Tatum Show. I'm your host, Brandon Tatum. Catch me after the break.
The Officer Tatum Show, 844-900-7243. That's 844-900-7243.
Welcome back to The Officer Tatum Show. This is your host, Brandon Tatum, and I have a special guest coming into the house tonight. The Sage from South Central L.A., born in South Central L.A., one of the greatest men to ever live. It's going to go down in history as my next guest being one of the greatest black men, black conservatives in general who ever lived on planet Earth. One of the smartest men I know, a great man, produced Uncle Tom. I was involved in Uncle Tom, one of the greatest documentaries. Y'all need to see it. My next guest that's coming on. And I'm so excited to have him. Larry Elder, welcome to the Officer Tatum Show.
Brandon, thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Well, so Larry, I got so much I want to talk to you about. Obviously, I want to say in front of the world that I definitely appreciate your blessing allowing me to take this position on your show, the show that you retired from, and allowing me to go on and continue the legacy that you had here on this network and this station. But I got a question for you, Larry. I was talking about this in my last segment, and people have mixed emotions about this. So LeBron James, his son, took a white girl to prom. LeBron James took a white girl to the prom. But the thought process is that what do you think about interracial marriages? Do you think interracial marriages are something that is because of race, or do you think it's because of culture? What's your thoughts, Larry?
I don't really put a whole lot of thought into it. I think people choose people based upon whether or not they feel compatible, whether or not they feel they have the same kind of values they have. And today in our society, I don't think anybody cares. I'm in California, and I think one in every five marriage in California is considered to be an interracial marriage. They're increasing. So I don't think anybody cares. Now, the LeBron James thing is interesting to me because, Brandon, when I look at some of the comments, many of them were vicious comments that came apparently from black people. Now, you don't know who wrote them. Could be somebody sitting in their shorts in their basement smoking the blunt. So it's hard to say exactly, you know, who wrote what. But some of the stuff appeared to come from black people. And I would think that black people should be the last people in the world to be criticizing somebody because of the choice of the person that they've chosen. I mean, isn't MLK tell us that you got to be talking about content of character rather than color of skin? I think, frankly, that a lot of people were upset for a couple of reasons. Number one, she was really, really, really pretty. And number two, most people can't afford a $326,000 Mercedes. But, you know, look, I think most people in the world couldn't have cared less. And we ought not let the deviant and the aberrant define the normal and the customary. You know, I remember when Hank Aaron was about ready to break Babe Ruth's record, and he had all this hate mail, and he kept all of it. He talked about it for years, and I don't doubt that he got it. I don't doubt that it hurt his feelings. But most people couldn't have cared less. Most baseball fans couldn't have cared less. It was a minority of idiots that wrote those letters, and I'm sure an even smaller number now would have written them, having had some time to reflect over it. So who cares? Did Kamala Harris and Ketanji Brown Jackson weigh in on this, both of whom have white spouses? I don't think anybody cares anymore. And if they do, it's their own sickness.
100%. I couldn't agree with you more. And the Gallup poll agrees as well. At 94% of people who were interviewed or polled said that they couldn't care less about the race of someone's skin. And it begs the question at the racism that we see in America. I think a lot of people point the finger at white supremacists, which I think there are white supremacists in the country. And of course, some of them are probably the most vile racist people that we know. But I would argue, and I could be wrong, Larry, I want to hear from you. I think that from my background growing up in the black community, I feel as if black people come across more racist in many of these situations than white people do.
Well, this has been polled. The Rasmussen poll has done a couple of them over the years, and they've asked, Brandon, whites, blacks, Hispanics, and Asians, of these four groups, which is the most racist? Whites have said blacks are the most racist. Hispanics have said blacks are the most racist. Asian Americans said blacks are the most racist. Blacks said blacks are the most racist. Now, nobody said a majority of any group is racist, but of those who said this group is the most racist, each one said blacks more than anybody else, including blacks. And the Anti-Defamation League has for years taken surveys on the amount of anti-Semitism in the country, and blacks are 2.5 to 3 times more likely to be anti-Semitic than non-black Gentiles. So, you know, a lot of us need to look in the mirror here, and before we start yelling and screaming about white supremacy and white racism, we need to make sure that our own house is in order.
1,000%. This is one of the concepts that I think you and I agree on, and the reason why I love your commentary so much is that I feel like looking in the mirror is the most beneficial thing that any group of people can do, any American can do, any father, mother, whatever demographic you want to put yourself in. Looking in the mirror is the most invaluable asset to you becoming the best version of yourself and having an articulable argument if you are going to have one about issues that go on in the country. Larry, what do you think about these mass shootings? Because I saw that you put out a tweet, and I thought it was an amazing tweet, and I used it in my show about mass shootings and the misinterpretation, or at least the misunderstanding of who's more responsible. So can you mention or at least talk a little bit about the tweet that you put out that showed the race of people in the mass shootings and percentage and population?
Sure. Sure. It started, of course, because of what happened in Buffalo, the horrific shooting that was, done by this white supremacist who put on this manifesto, I think, 2 days before he did the shooting spree about how much he hated black people. And Joe Biden went there, and that's fine. That's what the commander-in-chief is supposed to do. He's supposed to be the commiserator-in-chief. But he didn't go to Waukesha, Wisconsin, when that guy, black guy, got behind that SUV and plowed through all those white people at that Christmas parade. And 6 people were killed. He didn't go there, and the Biden administration put out a statement and said, well, we didn't go there because it would have required the use of a great deal of assets, their word, not mine. Well, required a great deal of assets to go to Buffalo, and the reason for Buffalo is because this is a white dude doing it, and that advances their narrative. When, in fact, if you look at who's doing mass shootings mass killings. I say mass killings because Waukesha wasn't a shooting, it was a killing. As a percentage of the population, blacks are roughly 13%. Blacks commit about 17.5% of the mass shootings and mass killings. So blacks are overrepresented when it comes to mass shootings and mass killings. Whites, at 63% of the population, commit about 54% of these mass shootings, mass killings, so they are underrepresented. And the same thing is true, by the way, of hate crime. Blacks are overrepresented in hate crimes, and whites, compared to their percentage of the population, are underrepresented. But this does not fit the script. And so most people are unaware of this, and they assume that white people are running around, racist white people are running around mowing down black people. In fact, if you look at the homicides in this country, almost half of the homicide victims are black, around 7,000. I think in 2020 it was 8,600, according to the New York Post. Almost all killed by other black people. It is rare for a white person to kill a black person. It is rare for a black person to kill a white person. But if you want to play that game, roughly there are about 750 black-white or white-black interracial homicides every year in recent years. 250 blacks are killed by whites. 500 whites are killed by blacks. So the percentage of black people killed by white people is about 2.9%. But we don't care about that. We don't care about what's going on in Chicago. We don't care about what's going on in New York and in L.A., where a disproportionate percentage of the black victims of homicide are black and brown, because it doesn't fit the script. It's just a lie that white racism remains a major peril in America. If anything, the percentage of white people who say they would never vote for a black person for president is now down to about 3 or 4% if they felt that person was qualified. The first time Gallup ever asked that question, Brandon, was in the 50s, and only 38% of white people said they would vote for a qualified black person for president. So it's a lie. America is the only majority white country that's ever elected and reelected a black person for president, and we're talking about racism more now than ever before. It's ridiculous.
I couldn't agree with you more. It's tiring. I had a caller just on a minute ago named James, and he said that one of the biggest issues that we are facing in the United States of America is to defeat Russia, and the second most dire issue is equality in this country. And I could not disagree with him more, because there's a difference between equality and equity. I think he meant he wanted more equity in this country, and I feel like that equality is already accomplished. You have equal opportunity to do your best. You can't control if your parents were drug dealers or drug users. You can't control if you were born into poverty, but you can't control what you do every single day, 24 hours in a day that you get. You can control if you're making positive decisions in that day or you're making negative decisions in that day.
Absolutely. And the reason, in my opinion, that you and I, black conservatives, get so much grief on social media is because when you tell people that, no, nobody's holding you back, you then have to deal with the ugly, awful truth of looking into the mirror and saying, if I'm unhappy, if I'm unsuccessful, if I didn't get what I want, it's because of things I did or didn't do, and I cannot blame anybody else. And that's a cold, hard place to be.
Yeah, Larry, can you join me for one more segment?
I
want to hear from you. I mean, you have such a great insight. This is where I get a lot of my knowledge from, ladies and gentlemen. And I know a lot of you guys have over several years that Larry has been in this very spot. So you're listening to the Brandon Tatum Show. Y'all hold the phone. Catch you after the break.
The Officer Tatum Show. 844-900-7243. That's 844-900-7243. Brandon Tatum, unafraid to tell it like it is.
Ladies and gentlemen, gentlemen and ladies, welcome back to the Officer Tatum Show. I'm your host, Brandon Tatum. I got Larry Elder on the line. If you're calling in, you got to hold the phone, because I'm going to finish up talking to the GOAT, Larry Elder, and then I'll bring you guys in a little later in the show. Larry Elder, you ran for governor of California. I want you to walk us through that experience. You know, I feel like that you were the most qualified person. California would have been so blessed to have you to run that state, to get that state back in order. But you received a lot of backlash, from the haters, from the leftists, calling you a black white supremacist or something of that nature. Can you explain to the audience just a little bit, like, what was your experience, and will you be interested in running again or for something, a greater position?
Well, I think a lot of voters now have voted for Morris Brandon. I think a lot of people now wish they had voted for me, because since then the crime has gone up, the homelessness has gotten worse. the rate at which people are leaving California has picked up. The schools haven't gotten any better. So I think a whole lot of people now regret that they didn't vote for me. It was a wonderful experience. I wouldn't have traded it for the world. The reason I did it is because it was a recall election. You know, a Republican has not won statewide here in California in 20 years. So a one-against-one race is almost impossible to win. But this was a recall. So if a majority of Californians had agreed to recall Gavin Newsom, and they did not, whoever got the most votes on the replacement side would have won. And I got 3.5 million votes on the replacement side, more than virtually all the other 46 rivals combined. I raised $22 million in about 7.5 weeks. That was more than the Republican rivals raised combined. But yeah, you're right. I was attacked. I was attacked primarily by papers like the New York, like the LA Times and the Sacramento Bee. One of the writers for the LA Times, who's black, referred to me as, quote, the black face of white supremacy. You've been warned, was the headline. A Latina for the LA Times called my views white supremacist. And one of them quoted a state senator in California as saying, if Larry Elder becomes governor of California, we'll go back to Jim Crow. What is it I've said, friend? That's it. My parents both experienced Jim Crow. My mother's from Alabama. My dad is from Georgia. I know about Jim Crow. What the hell is I'm going to do to bring back Jim Crow? I mean, that's the kind of insanity that I had to deal with. But as to running again against him in November, I'm not going to do that because the electoral math is almost impossible to overcome. We're outnumbered. We, meaning Republicans, are outnumbered in California 3-1. And when Arnold Schwarzenegger recalled the first time that a governor was recalled, that was in 2003. Since then, there are now 5% more registered Democrats, 50% more registered independents, and independents in California vote Democrat, and 33% fewer registered Republicans. A whole lot of people have left California in the last couple of years, Brandon, something like 300,000, and many of them Republicans, and they've taken their votes with them. So right now what I'm doing is I've got a political action committee called ElderForAmerica.com, where I'm raising money to campaign for school choice, campaign to get rid of these soft on crime DAs, a campaign against critical race theory, and for programs to strengthen families, because that's the number one domestic problem in America, the large number of kids, particularly black kids, who enter the world without a father married to the mother. And the other thing I'm doing is I'm doing a daily one-hour live TV show for Epoch Times, E-P-O-C-H Times. It's on Monday through Thursday. It comes on from 2 p.m. until 3 p.m. Our time. And so anybody can go online and check it out. It's for free until 20 minutes, and then you have to switch over to Epoch Times, which is, I think, about $9 a month to subscribe to all the programming for Epoch Times. So that's what I'm doing right now. And I'm traveling around the country campaigning for some of the Republicans in very important districts so we can take back the House and take back the Senate.
Well, I love that, Larry. I love that you are out still grinding, man. I mean, you've been doing this for a while, but you still have the American spirit in you, helping out other people, you know, giving other people opportunities, giving people like me hope. And I hope that you guys that are listening will go out and support Larry Elder, ElderForAmerica.com. You could go on and help out the mission that Larry Elder has put into place. Larry Elder on Twitter. Y'all should go out and support. I mean, Larry Elder, you have been such an inspiration to myself. Candace talks about you all the time. You know, her and I started Blexit together. I was so proud to be in Uncle Tom, the documentary. I thought it made such an incredible impact. I have one more question for you because you had mentioned that people had came out against you, and there were black people or people who are saying that they're black and they love black people, and they come out against you and say that you are a white supremacist and all of these crazy things. Larry, why do you believe that black people are the most critical of black conservative men like you and I?
They swallow the line. They swallow the line that's been pushed by the Democratic Party. The Republican Party is racist, and anybody who supports the Republican Party, therefore, is racist if he's white, is an Uncle Tom, if he's black. They've drunk the Kool-Aid. That's what's happened. Jesse Jackson, Al Sharpton, people like Bill Clinton, and I would say Barack Obama did a great deal of damage. This is a man who got a higher percentage of the white vote than John Kerry, and here he is coming into the White House saying that the Cambridge police acted stupidly. Racism is in America's DNA. We have our own problems at a place called Ferguson when Ferguson was a lie. Michael Brown did not say don't shoot, did not say his hands are up. So in my opinion, people like Barack Obama and Eric Holder did a great deal of damage because these are people who are respected. They're well-educated. They're articulate. They're not blowhards like Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton. And so when those guys say that racism remains a major problem in America, it convinces a lot of people that it is, when in fact they never could have been successful as they are if in fact racism were a major problem in America. It's never been less significant. Racism has never been a less important factor in success in American life than today, but we're talking more about it than ever before because the Democrats know in order to make sure 13% of the electorate, that's blacks, and the guilty white people, in order to get that vote, they've got to keep talking about how much racism there is in America. It's a fraud and it's a scam.
Larry, I got one more thing for you. I think I got a little bit of time. Do you believe that there's hope? We got 2 minutes. Do you believe that there's hope for change? Because I'm not going to lie, Larry, I get discouraged at times thinking of when I go on these black blogs and I see all of the great things that black conservatives are doing, people like Thomas Sowell, yourself, the books that are written, and we get so much criticism. I wonder, is there hope to change a good majority or at least a fraction of the demographic of black voters in America?
Well, first of all, let me just say real quickly, Uncle Tom 2 comes out on June 19th, and we're going to continue the effort to open up people's eyes about that. Yeah, I think there is hope. I think ultimately, the truth wins. I believe if the captain of the Titanic had known the iceberg was ahead, he would have taken evasive action. It's right. Your job, it's my job to tell people, iceberg ahead, let's take evasive action. And again, the number one problem in America for black people is not systemic racism, it's not institutional racism, it's not inherent racism. It is the large number, 70% of black kids who enter the world without a father married to the mother. That is the number one problem in America. And you have to explain why we've gone from 25% of black kids in the world in 1955 out of wedlock to 70% today. You cannot blame that on slavery, on Jim Crow, or, dare I say, on Donald Trump.
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. The sage from South Central, Larry Elder. I just cannot say enough great things about you, Larry. Thank you so much for all of the blessings that you've, you know, put in my life. You know, the conversation that you and I had the other night at that hotel, and you kept it 100 with me. You kept me straight, and it really made me a better man. So I can't thank you enough, Larry. God bless you. Thank you for coming on my show and blessing us with your presence. Hopefully we'll talk soon.
Well, God bless you, Brandon. Thank you so much for the kind words. I appreciate it.
Ladies and gentlemen, there you have it, the sage from South Central. Go on to elderforamerica.com. Follow him on Twitter. His Twitter is on fire, larryelder.com. And also Uncle Tom 2 is coming out. You don't want to miss it. Epic Times as well. Podcast is on Epic Times. Follow Larry Elder. You're listening to The Austin Tatum Show.
See you. Brandon Tatum, the left ain't seen nothing yet.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. I hope that you guys are having a wonderful evening. It's a Friday. I ain't got no job. And I ain't got nothing to do. Y'all probably don't know what that reference is. Come on, Craig. I hope y'all know what that reference is. So I got two things I want to talk about in this segment, just real quick. I want to talk about Donald Trump in the next election. Then I also want to give my explanation of why I think that policing in America has gone down the drain because of these crazy leftists, and why I believe that policing, there's no such thing as systemic racism in policing. Very simple. Donald Trump, the question that I want to ask you guys, and you can call in and give me an explanation as well, but I want you to think to yourself, would you vote for President Trump in 2024? The number is 844-900-7243, 844-900-7243. 844-900-7243. I used to hate when people used to do that, and I couldn't understand not one letter, and I'd be trying to type on my phone. I couldn't do it fast enough. I never called in. So I try to make it slow for you guys. But would you vote for President Trump in 2024? My answer is yes, I will. I will vote for President Trump in 2024. I thought he did a tremendous job. I don't care nothing about his Twitter fingers. He's not my pastor. He's not my father. I don't worship him. I just need him to do his doggone job. That's all it is. And I don't have to like you. You know, there's a lot of people that I don't like. And there's a lot of people that I don't like everything about. I just need you to do your job. I need, when you are on the campaign trail, you say, I'm going in to do X, Y, Z. You actually go in and pursue X, Y, Z. I don't care if you look cool and you all, you know, you have the best decorum and all of these different things. And then you get in there and you turn to a rhino. What's the point? The real question is, if Ron DeSantis and Donald Trump ran against each other, which I know will never happen. Ladies and gentlemen, follow me. I'm giving you a hypothetical. If Donald Trump and Ron DeSantis ran against each other, who would you choose? And that is an interesting question, because you have to figure who would you choose and who do you think can win in an election if you chose that individual. Now, I would say, and I know this is going to be really controversial, but that's why I'm here. I'm going to say the things that you silently think out loud, is that I believe that I would vote for Ron DeSantis. Why would you do that, Mr. Tatum? The reason I would do that is because I think that his resume is a little cleaner and the Democrats didn't impeach him twice already. And I feel like for some reason, and this is only not because I like any one of them better, because I like Trump better, but it's because I think that DeSantis could win. And the reason that I'd say that is because, you know, they have built this hatred for Donald Trump that I have never seen before. There are people who I talk to when I'm out in public, when I'm going to these schools to speak, and not the conservative people, but people outside of conservatism or people that didn't vote for President Trump, and they have built a disdain and hatred towards President Trump that I've never seen before. And I think that it's going to be very difficult to un-mess up these people's minds, to get them to think properly. There are people today that I've talked to, some people in my family, that have said, I am never voting for a Democrat ever again, but I can't stand Donald Trump. And I'm not saying that this is the way I'm going to feel in perpetuity. It's just that right now I see it as saying somebody like DeSantis is very strong, very confident. He does a lot. He got a great record in Florida. And I wonder, could the moderate people and the people in between feel more confident knowing that they want to vote for a Republican and saying, I voted for DeSantis? Will the family throw you under the bus, not let you come to a family gathering because you voted for DeSantis versus if you voted for Trump? It's a very interesting concept. If you ask me who I like the most, I like Trump better. Why? Because I like people that are bold, that are confident, that'll get in your face and say what you feel and not necessarily what you want to hear. And so I'm anxious to hear from you guys. I wonder what you think about the Trump DeSantis situation that I believe is never going to happen. It would be the worst decision in political history for Republicans, for them to split the vote between, I would say split the vote, but for them to try to make the party fight between two of the probably most qualified candidates that we have. There's other people out there, you know, Rand Paul, people like him. I wouldn't vote for him. Why? Because I didn't like what he did with the Breonna Taylor bill or whatever they tried to pass to ban no-knock warrants. Now, if Breonna Taylor died at the hands of an illegitimate no-knock warrant, then I would have a little bit more mercy on Rand Paul over that. But she did not die at the hands of a no-knock warrant at all, let alone a botched no-knock warrant. To be honest, if they would have no-knocked on Breonna Taylor's apartment, she would still be alive today. But because they didn't, and they allowed her boyfriend to get up because you should have heard that 911 call. He was screaming like a little baby. I don't know how he was carrying a gun that afraid and not knowing his target. When they breached the door, boyfriend shot the police and got her shot. Now, you have to ask yourself, how in the world did he shoot at the police and he didn't get touched and she got shot 8 times? Oh, yeah, I know why. He ran behind her. That's why. I would imagine that he pushed in the way and ducked off in the back room. And she took all the lead that was coming his way because he just wanted to shot the police. But if they would have conducted a no-knock warrant, Breonna Taylor would still be alive today. So I cannot fathom why Rand Paul, anybody else, is trying to push to eliminate no-knock warrants. Let's see. We have Vincent. Vincent from Atlanta. Welcome to the Officer Tatum Show.
Yes, sir. Hey, man, congratulations on your show, man.
Appreciate that.
Listen, I would vote for Trump 100% every day, all day, against all comers, because our country is on the brink of being destroyed. Actually, it's well on its way, and we need a warrior. These politically correct Mike Pence type people that say the right things, do the right thing, that's fine. He's a good guy, the DeSantis, but we need someone who's not concerned with saying the right things all the time that will get things done.
I agree with you. I agree with you, Vincent, 1,000%. You know, I just felt like, you know, could it be difficult to convince the moderates and other people to vote for Trump? You know, because personally, I love Trump more than anybody else. I think he was, a bull in the china shop that we needed in this coming, you know, season of elections. Do you think that he would get the votes, even though, you know, he's controversial with the moderates?
Every day, all day, man. If you ever been to a Trump rally, man, is.
Oh, I've been to a few. I've been to like five of them.
Off the chain, and there's no one ever who can pull people like that together on that short of notice. And because of this treasonous election, man, we need someone there who can fix this and not just be polite and, okay, well, you know, let's all get together. I mean, we need to take this country back.
Vincent, thank you so much for the call. I agree with Vincent 100%. I think Vincent can convince me that, hey, maybe I'm sleeping behind the wheel. Maybe we should not worry about if the person is electable or not. Maybe we should just go for the rock star. But I can't say Donald Trump – ain't nobody doing what Donald Trump is doing. Nobody would ever probably do what Donald Trump is doing. I'll tell you this. I've been around Trump before. I met Trump. I've been to the White House when he was in office. I think I went to the White House about five or six times. I saw him get off of Marine One. Donald Trump has the it factor. He just does, man. He has an aura about him. Now, I've never been around DeSantis. But when I'm in the presence of Donald Trump, like, he just has something about him that commands presence. You know what I mean? So I think Vincent convinced me. You know, maybe I may need to lean a little bit more towards saying if both of them were to run, no matter what, it would be Trump all day. I think I got time for one more call. Lynn from California, welcome to the Officer Tatum Show.
So glad I'm the last one. No, you have to vote for Trump. We need him. Like I was telling the producer, I'm a long life. I'm a great grandmother, and I voted for Trump for the first time in life, switching parties. I got to do the real paperwork. Yeah, we got to get Trump back. He inspired us, and it's a lot of young people. My grandchildren's mother, we're undercover Trump supporters. That's how bad it is. Yeah, we can't even, you know, tell people. Actually, my son told me, and this is sad, he's in the military, he's in Texas now, but he told me, he said if I voted for Trump, he wasn't going to talk to me no more. So, and we actually really not kind of talking. It's that bad because they don't even vote. They just so busy partying. Like, I love you said you're a Christian. I'm trying to get my children back into the hands of the Lord because they just out there. So they're not paying attention. That's the problem. The young people are not paying attention.
100%. Lynn, I got to go to the break, but thank you so much for the call. I love it when I hear people talk about the Lord and be confident in their convictions and vote for the right person. You know, I feel sorry for Lynn. I don't feel sorry for her, but it's kind of sad that, you know, a family member is that deceived to want to ruin a relationship over a man who probably was the best president that we've ever seen in this country, at least in my lifetime. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to talk to you again after the break. This is a Friday. We're going to have fun on Friday. You listen to the Officer Tatum Show. I'm your host, Brandon Tatum. Catch me after the break.
Brandon Tatum, the left ain't seen nothing yet. Brandon Tatum, unafraid to tell it like it is.
That's right. That's right. If you want to listen to somebody that's fake and want to sugarcoat stuff, then you listen to the wrong channel. Welcome back to the Officer Tatum Show. Ladies and gentlemen, we had guests in the last hour that gave some good content. But until I get to the rest of the guests, I want to give you some information about MyPillow. Mike Lindell and MyPillow are having a buy one, get one extravaganza on multiple MyPillow products. Now's the time to join multiple Americans who have changed the quality of their sleep with MyPillow. Right now, get buy one, get one free pricing on MyPillow bed sheets, Giza Elegance MyPillows, six-piece towel sets, and roll and go anywhere MyPillows. Just go to the Radio Listener Specials page at MyPillow.com and use promo code Tatum or call 1-800-858-0263. Don't miss this incredible opportunity. Buy one, get one free on select products. You will also receive Mike's book absolutely free with any purchase. Call 800-858-0263 or go to the Radio Listener Special page at MyPillow.com. Put in promo code Tatum. That's MyPillow.com. Promo code Tatum. Let's talk some more to our people about Donald Trump. I had first mentioned that if Ron DeSantis and Donald Trump ran against each other, I would lean more towards Ron DeSantis because I think he could be more electable. I feel like Donald Trump is my favorite. And, you know, if they hadn't beat him up so bad, I probably would have no questions. But at the same time, you know, the guests have convinced me, man, and I'm not easily convincible. I'm a stubborn Taurus bull. And I think the guests have convinced me that even if they both ran, like, Trump is the GOAT. I mean, he's done so much for this country, and I think he's the most viable candidate out of the both of them, no matter who want to vote for him. I think he had enough support to win the 2020 election for sure. And I feel like if it wasn't a lot of cheating, then we wouldn't be here today. Rose from Pennsylvania, welcome to the Officer Tatum Show.
Hi.
Rose, you said you won't vote for Trump. Is that true?
No. I'm going to vote for Larry Elder. We all are. He's got one heck of a fan club, believe me. And it's mostly all ladies.
Well, I love that. I'm glad you said that. I thought you was going to get on here and say something crazy about Trump, but it seems
no.
You are a conservative. And even if you didn't want to vote for Trump, I'm not against that. I know some people that I respect very well that don't like Trump for some reason, but that is good. I love Larry Elder.
Well, I don't like him because he lied to us.
Oh, yeah, he's a 100%. Okay.
And he owes me money.
Who owes you money?
Trump.
Oh, Trump owe you money. Oh, I thought you said somebody else lied to you. How did Trump lie to you?
He had the chance to get through that Roe versus Wade thing at the end there, and I said I wasn't going to vote for him unless he got that in, and he didn't. So,
was it the Supreme Court justice or was it Trump?
Yep. It was the Supreme Court justices. It was supposed to go through earlier than the guy. I don't understand all this politics stuff, but I know that he kind of dragged his feet, and I don't know why.
Okay. Well, thanks, Rose. I really appreciate the call. I think Donald Trump wanted to do it. He put in the Supreme Court justices that were conservatives, but you know how they do it. They get in there and then they get threatened or whatever. I don't know what they're doing, and they cower. I don't know. I really don't know if that's what it appears to be, that the Supreme Court justice cowered when they had the opportunity. They cowered when they had the opportunity to overturn the election or at least give it another look. Man, how in the world we not even audit the election? Like, yeah, dog, come on, man. You don't have to get rid of it. At least do an audit. The people are concerned. It's our country. Okay. All right. Let me not yell at your eardrums. Gloria, I want to give you an opportunity. Gloria, please. Welcome to the Austin Tatum Show.
How are you?
I'm doing well. Ma'am, who's the woman that you think I'm talking about? Hillary Clinton?
No, you was talking about some woman at some school or something. Anyway, right now I want to talk about Donald Trump. Did you say that Donald Trump is going up against LeBron James? Did you say that? Who are you
Gloria.
Talking about?
Gloria.
You talking about Donald Trump?
I love you, Gloria. Donald Trump isn't going against LeBron James. I hope I didn't say
okay.
that. I was speaking of him versus DeSantis. Him versus DeSantis.
Oh, I don't even know him. I don't even know no DeSantis. But I vote for Trump. I sure would. I vote for him before, and I vote for him again.
Gloria, sure we love you. We love you. Thank you so much for the call. Oh, you gotta love Gloria. She's one of my favorite callers, and this is my first week. So I love what she had to say. You know, Trump is the GOAT. I think he did. It's such a tremendous job. There's a lot of people that hate. I think she would have voted for LeBron if he'd ran against Ron DeSantis. She would vote for LeBron. Maybe because he can dunk, man. LeBron is, like, let me tell you this. I know a lot of conservatives don't like LeBron, myself included, because I think he's an absolute idiot when it comes to politics, but man, he can play some basketball. Man, he is one of the most athletic big dudes I've ever seen in my life. That dude is the GOAT number two, because obviously Michael Jordan was the man. And Michael Jordan has such a great attitude. When I watch him on his documentary, I thought it was awesome. LeBron James is just so immature, you know, maybe because he didn't have his dad around or he didn't have enough male figures to teach him how to be a stand-up type man. That's probably why he's, you know, saying the things he's saying. You know, there's no way in the world he's afraid to leave his house because he's afraid of what police going to do to him. I guarantee you LeBron James has never been pulled over by the police, and if he have, they wanted his autograph and they let him go. There is no way whatsoever on God's green earth that LeBron James have problems with law enforcement officers. If I was a cop, he'd have a problem with me because I'll give him a ticket. I wouldn't even give him a warning. Anyway, Will from Washington, veteran, welcome to the Officer Tatum Show.
Hey, Brother DT, thank you, man. Hey, listen, congratulations on your great week, your debut, right?
So yes, yes, sir. Thank you.
Let's get down to business here real quick before I lose my train of thought. So Constitution, let's speak about that in general, all right? The reason why we're having all kinds of this BS that's happening around us today in America, if you look at the Constitution, there is no amendment for any kind of penalties, okay? Unless they broke it down to treason, espionage, in which there is espionage, you know, they're spying, right? So all of that come to place, but there is no category for penalties, okay? Mm. You know, like penalties for election fraud, for example. Where is that in the Constitution? Because when the forefathers wrote this down, right, I'll be up 100 with you, 1,000% with you. The very same forefathers had the same issues we had today. So there's cabals in there as well. The same issues we're having right now, they had. But it's more escalated today. So they didn't have the foresight to see, you know, the advanced technology, the Twitter and all that BS, you know, social stealing and all this, right? So that's exactly what we have to do is open up the Constitution. That's one of my solutions, all right, is to rehash the penalty rules and regulations. What do you think of that, bro?
Will, thank you for your call. I got to go to the break, but I think, you know, I know you can hear me, but I think there was a, I think you're right on point. You know, why can't we do that? I think there's a lot of things we need to look into. I am open to all possibilities. I do agree with you, Will. I think you made an incredible point. Thank you for your service. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to The Officer Tatum Show. I hope you're having a good time riding home on a Friday. I'll see you after the break.
The Officer Tatum Show, 844-900-7243. That's
3-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.